That was when I turned to Google. I turned to Google, I typed in how to make money. And it suggested, auto-suggested online. So I was like, okay, clicked on that.
You're listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. This is your seat at the table. Hello and welcome to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. This is Darren Clark, the producer of the show. Anik Singhal is our guest today and he has a ton of takeaways for entrepreneurs. Anik is the co-founder of SendLane, a SaaS company, Learn.com, an e-learning platform, a live event company, WebinarCon, and more. So before we get started, are you signed up for our email newsletter? You can do that over at businesslunchpodcast.com to stay in the loop and never miss a beat. So thanks for tuning in, and I'll hand you over to Roland.
Hey, everybody, Roland Frazier here. Welcome to Business Lunch, where my guest today is the inimitable and wonderful Anik Singhal. Anik, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Thanks for having me, man. I'm doing great.
So you have all kinds of fun businesses. You've got Learn, which is an e-learning platform, and I believe also an LMS, correct?
Yes, it's an e-learning platform, LMS, soon to have community features. Yeah, nice. It's still growing. We haven't really figured out what it is yet.
I like it. And you've got SendLane, which is a wonderful SaaS. And then you've got a live event called WebinarCon, as well as some consulting and other fun stuff that we don't get to talk about, right?
Yeah.
I love it. Well, could you share with us a little bit about like kind of where you are now in those businesses and what your thoughts are? And then we'll dive into the CD past of how you became an entrepreneur and all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah. Well, Learn's my passion. Learn's my answer to the who am I, why am I, and where am I? You know, it's something I wanted to build for a long time. It's basically my dream for that is it's a home for entrepreneurs. That's what we say. We're home for entrepreneurs. And it stems from very simple. When I was in college, I lived in a program with entrepreneurs. And it was awesome because you get to like talk to them all the time, live with them, work with them. And then when I graduated, I felt so alone. I mean, entrepreneurship is a pretty lonely business. And so we were really trying to build a physical on-site. We have a 26,000 square foot literal playground for entrepreneurs. And then we have a virtual where we have over 400,000 members now at learn.com. And we're just building courses, training, facilitating, bringing amazing people like yourself to a lot of people who want to learn. We're doing great. We're growing leaps and bounds. It's our biggest growth year this year in my history of owning businesses. It has been just trying to keep up. So blessings all around that one. SendLane, which probably is my favorite business because I'm just a co-founder and Jimmy gets to do all the hard work, nice. Not me.
Love those businesses.
And he is just done. I've had no role with that. That is all Jimmy Kim. Shout out to him. That company is just kicking butt. And I think for me, I'm just the happiest customer. I'm an actual customer of it. And I love it. I love the company. They're best out there.
And what does it do?
It's email, like autoresponder. So email services, ESP, email service provider. So we, you know, provide automation, marketing automation through not just email, but also text messaging and a lot of new features that are coming out. But it specializes also in e-commerce. So we've done some heavy integrations and heavy automations with all the top e-com platforms out there. So growing again this year, unlike anything ever we've seen before. Actually, I think it's growing even faster than Learn. So it might be the record holder right now of growth rate. And then WebinarCon, which we launched this year, it's funny, in December of 2019, I made a commitment to myself and my wife, 2020, no new companies, nothing new. I'm just going to build what I'm doing and have a simpler year. Yeah. I think everyone knows 2020 is not simple by any means.
Right.
So I made that declaration on December 20th. I remember specifically. And by Jan 10th, I launched a new company called WebinarCon.
You held out for a full 10 days. So
no, 20 days. December 20th to Jan 10th. That's 20 days.
Well, you said this year. So I'm going to say.
Yeah. This
year.
You don't
get credit. You don't get to take credit for the end of December.
Yeah. So amazing partners there, Ron Douglas and Andy Hussong. And we just love webinars. It's what I do to drive most of my business and not enough people out there talk about them. So we put a little beta test out there. This is one of those Cinderella stories where the market tells you, hey, we want this. And you hit tipping point without even realizing it. The whole thing just blows up and you're trying to keep up with it. So it's been a killer year, man. Just everything blowing up.
I heard really good things about WebinarCon. One of my business partners, Perry Belcher, spoke there, I think at your first one, right?
Yeah.
And or attended. I think he spoke, but or maybe he's speaking at the next one. But I saw him somewhere on an ad. And he said it was just fantastic. So I was going to ask, is there, now, did you record that? Is that something that I could go and buy a copy of what happened there so that I can find out all the tips and tricks and sneaky things that are going on?
Yeah, so no to the recordings. That was one of our big rules about it, was you have to be on the, in the live events, we want the in-room experience. That's what we're really protecting. Okay. So, but you know, what happened, this is a true story. Like I can't even, as a marketer, I can't even make this up. We were supposed to do a 20-30 person event. It was supposed to be a low-key networking event. We were going to do deal making with each other. Thing freaking blows up. 110 of the... Let me put it this way. Perry Belcher messages me and wants to buy a ticket. That was when I was like, what? What the heck has happened? And 110 of the best marketers show up. At the end, everyone's like, when's the next one? Oh my God, this has been the best event since ever. So we're like, how about April 2021? Guys, here's your tickets. Sell out 60% of it. And then everyone comes running to us and like, April 2021? Like, why the heck do we have to wait over a year for this? Like, why can't we do one sooner? So we said, okay, September 2020. Now, I own a facility. So I have my own event facility. So I was like, I can do whenever I want it. And that was 6 days before the lockdown. So literally 6 days after the event ended, we're so blessed and lucky that no one got sick. Because at that time, it was going around. And 6 days later, all locked down. So we're not doing the September event because we can't. But we turned lemons into lemonade and we're doing a virtual event. And that one has taken off like no one's business. We're close to 1,000 tickets sold.
Nice.
We have some of the best of the best of the best speakers. Perry's back. He's keynoting. So now we actually have over 30 speakers through it's a 3-day event with an after party, pre-parties. There's networking happening. I mean, it's turned into a whole thing. It's going to be like a 2-month long endeavor teaching people webinars. So you'll love that because it's all high level content. No newbie type stuff in there. But we're figuring it out, man. We're like, we just are trying to figure out what the market wants and we're trying to catch up to it. But yeah, it's been a fun ride.
And is that webinarcon.com?
Yes, exactly. Okay. So webinarcon.com is where you can learn about that.
Nice. Okay, very cool. So you've got all those fun and wonderful and cool businesses. How did you get there?
All right. So I don't know if you noticed, but I'm brown. So I'm Indian, right? Hey, Roland, you've been to a hospital before or a doctor's office?
No, I generally stay away from it. Yes, I have.
Dude, good for you. If you look around, 70% are Indians. It's like, that's what we become. Indians become doctors in the Western world. So here's the thing, real quick connection. Growing up, I really am so lucky. I don't have that like, I was down and out living on the street story because I got awesome parents. And my dad, my dad lived in a village, grew up where he had to walk a mile down the road at night to study under a lamppost. They had no electricity in their house.
Wow.
So he gets that story, but he worked so hard, brought us to the US. He's a nuclear mechanical engineer for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and he just retired. So the dude climbed the ranks, did more than I could ever do in my life.
Nice.
But growing up, I kind of knew I want to do the next big thing. And I never want money to be an issue. Meaning I want to be able to buy whatever I want, right? I just don't want to ever have money be an issue. And so I started looking around. And in my community, those with the biggest houses, nicest cars, and most respect were doctors. Mm-hmm. So that was my process of figuring out my future career. That's it. I was like, oh, I'm going to be a doctor. Study really hard through school, get really good grades. I'm never the smartest in a room, but I'm the hardest working. So I was going to go to med school. I was going to do the whole thing, become a surgeon. And man, am I not cut out for that. So by like the first week into undergrad, I'm laying in bed. I got to get up to go to bio. This is seriously within the first week and a half of classes. And I'm like, I have that fear of God go over me. I'm like, what did I do? Like this, I'm in the wrong place. I made a big mistake. And all I kept thinking about was that lemonade stand I had started when I was a kid. So I have a funny story. Every entrepreneur has that lemonade stand story.
Yeah.
Mine is creative because I was in third grade. I opened a lemonade stand, but I hired second graders to run it. And I used to be inside watching cartoons.
Nice.
And I feel like that's when you really know you've got yourself an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So it tortured me for a couple of years. You know, I stayed in the bio program and until one of my friends really pushed me. She could tell I was miserable. And so I spoke to my parents. They were awesome. They were like, do what you want. It's your life. Switched over to College Park, University of Maryland, go Terps. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do business school. It's going to be great. But then like 2 weeks of classes, I'm like, this sucks. I'm bored out of my mind.
Right.
So I was pretty sure I was going to be broke and living in my parents' basement. But that was when I turned to Google. Mm-hmm. All right. And imagine this is when Google had just started. There was no Facebook. There was no Skype. There was like no Messenger. I turned to Google. I typed in how to make money. And it suggested, auto-suggested online. So I was like, okay. Clicked on that. I realized it was the theory of things that was driving me nuts. I didn't want to study anymore. I wanted to go do. I wanted to get my hands dirty. Like, let's get going. And that started my journey. I found forum to forum, found SEO, found this world of digital publishing. It made sense to me being a college kid spending thousands on textbooks. I was like, I get it. People pay for information. Struggled for 18 months and finally had a breakthrough. And next thing I know, I'm doing SEO, SEO consulting. I'm selling software, became an affiliate, started building an email list. Within 1 year, so that was my junior year of college, my senior year, I was doing so well and I was getting job offers from Wall Street. I went to my dad. I'm like, what do I do? Because I'm really doing well, but it's business. Business can flop anytime. And my dad looks at me, and this coming from my dad, you got to know how big of a deal this was to me. He looks at me and says, don't take the job. I'm like,
that's so cool.
Yeah. He's like, I know you. You take a job, you're going to excel at it. They're going to put a big salary on you and you are trapped for life.
For life, yeah.
Kid, do what you're doing. Worst case scenario, you're going to fall back on us. This is the time to take your risks and make your mistakes. And I was like, you're going to tell me twice. I'm like, if my dad says it, I'm out. I'm doing this. Funny enough, Roland, my first year at a college, sorry, senior year in college, I made $1 million. I graduated in June. Guess where I went? So I remember my biggest fear was like, oh, I'm going to be a broke college kid living in my parents' basement. Wasn't broke, filthy rich, but still living in my parents' basement because I was traveling so much. I mean, I was on the road 70% of the year, speaking on stages, doing all this crazy stuff. And so when I come home, I was like 5 days, I would just go home and stay with my parents. And that was it, man. That took off.
So what did you do? Where did the million come from?
Yeah. So first I built an email list. I was doing really well as an affiliate promoting products. I was in like three different spaces, personal development, this internet marketing space, like SEO type training.
Yeah.
And I was in the World of Warcraft niche. Don't judge me.
You know what? I actually had a World of Warcraft site as well, selling stuff. So,
Here's the thing. I probably made $400,000 or $500,000 from World of Warcraft. I've never played a day in my life. I have no idea.
I haven't either. About.
Yeah, but awesome. Those guys spend. That's all I mattered to me. So those were the
which also is how you made $1 million, because if you're playing World of Warcraft, that's a pretty exactly consumer,
right? Exactly. So I started selling $500 training software, physically packaged CDs and stuff. I made a lot of money with that.
Okay. And were you, was it someone else's or did you get it built or how did that go?
No, I did it myself. Really cool story of how that came about. So I was an SEO expert because there was a software out there. It's funny. I was doing an interview with Russell Brunson the other day and he brought up the name of the software. And I'm like, man, there's like three or four people that know my skeletons. He's one of them because we go that far back, but it's called Traffic Equalizer. And you would install the software as a total black hat tool to get people. I just got really good at using it. So people started hiring me $500 a pop to install it on their server.
Okay.
It took me like 45 minutes to do it. Right. So a college kid getting paid $600 an hour. That's awesome.
All right.
But I got lazy. I'm like, I've got to do four of these a day. It's so annoying. So someone gave me the idea. This was back when Screencast had just started. So you could record your screen. They're like, why don't you just film yourself doing it once, the step-by-step, and then just sell that for $500. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. So I recorded these videos, figured out I had bought 7 computers because you could, they had the burning to burn CDs.
Yeah.
And I hired some younger college kids and paid
second graders.
Yeah, that's a great person. I hired some younger college kids. I'm not going to tell you how I paid them, but it wasn't always money. And so I had a production line in my house. And so they would just burn these DVDs, print, pack. UPS person would come every day, pick up 10, 15 packages a day. That's $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 a day of just, you know, something I filmed once. That was when my eyes opened. I'm like, holy crap, you know, there is something here.
So now, just because a lot of people hear stories like this and they're like, that's awesome, but I couldn't do that because I didn't think to have a lemonade stand with delegated workers when I was in third grade. What was the process of learning how to do this? Because you obviously didn't know affiliate marketing, so you undertook to study and master it in some way. What was that first? And then I've got a follow-up question.
So here's the thing. There was no learning process. And the problem is the people that are looking for a learning process, that's why you're not making money.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were sitting back and waiting for you to learn everything. I just started doing. That's all. It's literally how I learn everything I do.
Yeah.
I just start doing. And I love asking questions. When I don't know something, there's two things I'll do. I find the person who knows it and I pay them a ton of money. Roland, you can speak to this personally for me.
Yep.
I mean, I messaged you recently. You know something I want to know. I said, how much? You said the price. I said, there you go. Now let's go.
Yeah.
Right. And that is what that's my superpower. My superpower is I know how to find the right people and I ask lots of good questions. I'll never waste anyone's time, but I don't wait so my wife's, everyone in my team, actually, and the whole Learn team, they have a nickname for me. They call me the Flash.
Nice.
And this is why, this is how it works. So we'll be in a room and we'll be brainstorming. So, and this has happened a gajillion times and people will be like, all right, well, I think next month we really need to figure out our social media. And I'll say, okay, well, which part of social media do we need to figure out? Well, let's really see what TikTok's all about. Is that right for us? And they'll still be contemplating like, well, TikTok is this, TikTok is that. This is me, my cell phone under the table. I message Rachel Peterson and they're not even done talking. And I'm like, okay, I have Rachel on my podcast tomorrow. I'll ask her, which questions do you want? Submit them to me and I'll have all the information. And they're still mid-sentence and they're like, what? And I'm like, right. Yeah, it's done. Like, stop talking. I'll move on to the next topic.
Right.
So I don't care to learn by courses and all of that. I can do those too, but find the person, get to them, binge their information, listen to their podcast, watch their YouTube videos, and then pay them money and just learn. So my process back then was I fell into affiliate marketing because people started asking me to help them with that software. And I was like, well, I got to make some money, buy through me.
Right.
I get 50% commission and I'll help you. And then all of a sudden someone's like, man, I don't want all this. Can you just do it for me? I'm like, sure. $500. I didn't even know how to transact money.
Mm-hmm.
When I asked for $500, I don't even know how to get $500. So once he said yes, I went to the forum. I said, hey guys, someone wants to pay me $500. How do I do this? And I was introduced to the world of PayPal.
Right.
You know? So stumble along and that's how you learn and make mistakes. It's okay. Fall flat on your face. Mess it up with the first two or three attempts or two, three clients. That's the best way to learn. There's no better way. So how did I make the course? Well, because I got burned out on doing consulting and I posted on the forum, hey, I was actually looking for other people I could hire to do it. That's what I was posting for. And someone comes along and gives me this idea that I extrapolated. I paid the person $500, ironically, the same amount to get on the phone with me for an hour and give me what now has turned into digital publishing. And I've sold over $250 million with, I guess, the advice he gave me back then.
That's great. That's great. I mean... I think that was a good investment of that $500.
Yeah, I think so too.
So now moving to today, if you had all of the knowledge that you've got now, but you didn't have the empire or the, I don't want to say you didn't have any connections, but not certainly the high, like if you were kind of starting now, but you had all the knowledge that you've got now, what would you do?
Ah, great question. And I actually have a perfect answer for it. So if I had to start all over again, number one, first and foremost, build an audience. Simple. Now, up to you where you want to build the audience. Here are the top choices I'll tell you, and I'll tell you why. Number one for me, by far, email list. And I'll explain why to all those out there who say, email's dead, no one opens emails. Hold on a second. There's some major benefits to it. Number two, YouTube. I love YouTube. It's slow to start, but I have physically watched my students, and I've physically watched a ton of people killing it with building a YouTube following. You cannot go broke. It's like virtually impossible for you to go broke if you end up getting 5,000-10,000 subscribers on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Number three option, Facebook groups. Those are really the, you can do podcasts. I like podcasts as a number four. I just find podcasts to be a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. It'll take more time to get traction. So you can combine it, maybe do podcasts with YouTube. Maybe that's how you build your YouTube following.
Right.
Is you publish your podcast on YouTube as well. So integrate it. But build an audience and get yourself up to 1,000 concrete followers. Now, that doesn't mean 1,000 people on your email list. That probably means more like 10,000 people on your email list.
Okay.
YouTube probably means about 3,000 subscribers will get you about 1,000 concrete followers. Facebook group, same, 3,000-4,000. You'll figure out how to make money then. I just know it. You build the audience, you'll make money.
And then your way of doing that would be you would start one, you would start a YouTube channel, you would start a Facebook group, and you would start an email list, and you probably use Sendlane, I'm guessing, just randomly if you were choosing. Yeah. And then so that you could follow what you said, who would be the person that you would tap for each of those to like really dive in and get that understanding as you were doing it and getting that coaching? I'm asking because I think it's really overwhelming. And so the more that we can help people that are listening or watching this to kind of do that thing, because I love the do and hire the best to teach you. I do exactly the same thing. And so I think it'd be really valuable if you have somebody, and maybe you don't.
here's how I would learn email if I had to relearn it. I would subscribe to about four or five people's lists who are out there actively emailing and just find four or five people that you really enjoy the content from and study what they do, how they email you. Because I find a lot of even top marketers, they don't do email correctly. They don't actually know how to do email well. But, you know, there are you. So, for example, send at least five times a week. That's my cardinal rule. We do daily sends.
And are you mixing content and offers in a particular ratio?
No, not really. I, you know, for example, I have my podcast, so I know that I'm going to talk about that once or twice a week at least when I release my episode. And now we're adding, we're going to be adding some more blog content to our strategy. So there'll be at least one day a week. So that's 3 days out of the seven already that'll be pretty content driven. Plus the other thing is when we do promotions and launches, we integrate content into the launch. So you may not even know we're in the middle of promoting or getting you kind of revved up for a launch we're doing, but we're doing it through tremendous value. So that's, I call it the hybrid model where you're not really saying, okay, today am I doing content or am I doing a pitch email? I actually love doing hybrid. So it's every day is almost always somehow helping something that's coming up in the future, but adding a ton of value. And so for email, I would say the best way to learn is by watching what others are doing. You can definitely learn, for example, I know in Digital Marketer, Ryan Dice has got an awesome segmenting course. Yep. So if you want to start learning how to do proper segmentation and autoresponders and trigger-based follow-ups, like that's a great course. That would be one I would go for. 99% of email marketers don't do anything like that. And it's sad. Like,
I agree. I just found recently a site that I'm pretty happy with called emaildrips.com that has all of the sequences that people have done. So I don't have to go and I can look at them all in one place and it's inexpensive. So I found that to be really happy. Like I was building a quiz funnel and I wanted to look at, you know, Neil Patel's quiz funnel and Russell Brunson's quiz funnel and somebody else's. And it was like, just, okay, there they are, all the steps. Done. I want to look at the email sequences that follow them. There they are. Done. Right. That was very helpful to me.
I just learned something today. So that's awesome. I'm going to be all over that. Email drips.
Yeah. Emaildrips.com. Cool. What? Okay. So now who would you go to for the YouTube stuff?
So for YouTube, I have found Brandy Sweezy.
Oh, Brandy. I know Brandy.
Yeah. Brandy. So Brandy's been talking. Brandy gave me my first YouTube lecture about how sucky I was at YouTube like 7 years ago. So she's been in it for a long time.
Sunny Leonard-Doozy?
Sunny is definitely awesome. I've actually bought Sunny's work. I've not gone through like a consulting with her. Mm-hmm. There are two people that I've watched build their YouTube channels. Like they don't necessarily teach how to do it. And they have just done, in my opinion, bang on amazing job. One is Alexander Catoni. Alex Catoni.
Okay.
And she built her YouTube channel up all around YouTube. I actually did a podcast interview with her where, I mean, she's a copywriter. That's what she does. That's what she talks about.
She's awesome. And she's super nice.
I brought her on my YouTube.
She's Canadian, but you know, that's okay.
Yeah, I know. I don't hold that against her too. She's from Vancouver. I like Vancouver. So,
yeah.
But she came on and she's like, oh, we're going to talk about copy. And I'm like, no. I want to talk about how you built your YouTube channel because I'm watching what you're doing. It's slick. So definitely watch her. And then Rachel Peterson is another one. I brought her name up earlier, but she came out of the friggin' nowhere. Now, of course, she knows social media, but she came out of nowhere and she one day is like, I'm going to focus on YouTube now. And pff, it blows up, right?
There's a trio of Rachels that are amazing. There's Rachel Peterson, Rachel Miller, who's really kick-ass for Facebook groups and Facebook pages. And then Rachel Bell, who is amazing and particularly focuses on Instagram stories, and has a really good process for doing that. So I call it the three Rachels and I think they're all awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are the people that I would watch. And I think the course you said by Sunny would be very, very good. And then for Facebook groups, Arnie Giske. Arnie Giske is someone
how do you
we're
spell
actually
the last name? That one I don't know.
Last name is G-I-S-K-E.
Yeah.
But yeah, Arnie Giske is actually someone we're publishing at Learn. So I love his content so much. He's even got, I forget the name of the exact software, but he's got software that automates the ability for you to, anyone who joins your group, you can pull their email address. And so you're building an email list at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing is, you know, how can you merge these strategies? Like if you're building your YouTube channel up, how can you use that to help you build your email list also? If you're building a Facebook group. For me, it all comes back to email. And the one big reason is this, you own your email list.
Yeah.
No one can take that away from you.
Right.
You do not own your YouTube audience. You do not own your Facebook audience or any of these platforms. And they can, and many times have, taken it away from you.
I have been trying so hard on it to get my son to understand that. He's got a couple of businesses with YouTube people, and I cannot get him to build an email list. He's like, why? And I'm like, because exactly what you just said. And he's like, God, that's just so dumb.
I know. And do both, right? So it's like, I'm not saying don't build up the audience on the social side. Just every now and then drop them a URL to a free report or a free book or a freebie that you've given. So let them, because that way, look, how many people right now have built up these massive audiences on TikTok?
Yeah.
Right? And are doing so well. They've got massive celebrity status. And I hate to say it, but our government, there could be one stroke of pen and TikTok is dead in US. I mean, in India, it died.
Yeah.
Like, there was one stroke of pen. It is banned in India. And I think it was like some 25% of users of TikTok were from the country of India. So many people had built their entire livelihoods on it. Yeah. Gone.
Yeah. Do you know Yifat Cohen? She's a YouTube person now.
No, I don't.
She's, to me, a really great story of that. She was the Google Plus girl. Or Google Plus gal, I think was her brand or something like that. But Google flew her around the world as an ambassador for Google Plus. And, you know, she's like, she built this huge platform. She had all her people there. She had courses and everything. And then, of course, with 100 million plus users, Google would never just say, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. But they did. And so she's like, never build your house on rented ground, right? Yeah. Ever, ever, ever. That's to me a really great story about that. And like you said, all the folks in India and I know people on Amazon that Amazon just has gone into their business and said, yeah, we're doing that now. It's like, oh,
I've had so many Google there was a time when I had built this affiliate arbitrage strategy and it was awesome. It's the easiest money ever. Mm-hmm. You pull an affiliate link out of ClickBank and you run a pay-per-click ad. They don't let you do it now, but back when Google pay-per-click was just getting big, I was doing 40 grand a month in net income for doing nothing. These ads were all autopilot. You know, I woke up one morning, gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was in so many different niches that I'd never built an email list in. So my business was gone. There was nothing left.
Yeah.
That was when I really started making sure I was always building an email list, because now they could, and actually one of those niches that was gone, I had an email list in because I had done it differently, which was World of Warcraft. And yes, my income in that niche hurt for sure. But I mean, I lost 50, 55%. I still had 40, 45% coming in. I didn't lose everything.
That's all right. Yeah.
Thanks to the email list. So, yeah.
Nice. Now, how did you get into software? Like, so SendLane, for example. So, and you built an LMS, I believe, as well, right? For Learn?
Yes. Yeah. So SendLane, I got into because I tricked Jimmy into becoming my best friend.
Nice.
And so I was there at the right time. I'm not a software guy. I don't understand software. Mm-hmm. It's not my forte. And it's probably one of the reasons why the LMS on the Learn side has taken so long to get where it is and why we have created a lot of messes that now I finally hired the right brilliant people to clean up. If you're going to build a software company, here's my cardinal rule. Here's my cardinal advice. Unless you are very technical yourself, if you're building a software company, your first most expensive person and hire should be a very advanced technical person.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have done that for Learn 3-4 years ago, and I didn't. So I got into software. Learn, for me, I don't look at it as a software. I look at it as a community, mm-hmm. which needs software to facilitate it. So I think that's why I got into it. But I'm definitely like, I don't think my next big idea is going to be a SaaS or some kind of a technology type of play. My brain doesn't work in those areas. Whereas
What's
like Jimmy... His does. He's already got like his next three big software companies he wants to launch.
What's your next big thing?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I genuinely don't.
What are you curious about right now that's kind of got you going, this is kind of interesting, or this might be something?
So I can tell you, I have a couple of dreams that I've always said I'll have a company in this arena. I'll do something in it before I am done or before I leave Earth. One is hotels. I love hotels. I know you do too. And that's where we actually first connected. If you remember, I was jealous of all your upgrades. I'm a big hotel person.
Yeah.
So I was watching that. I want to have a hotel. I don't care if it's a chain. I just want one. If it's like just an amazing hotel, burns money, loses money, but man, it's talked about in every magazine.
Not a bad time to buy right now.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So I've always wanted a hotel. I want a nutraceutical company. I've dealt with a lot of health issues and I'm not quite credible just yet to launch it, but I feel like I'm overcoming a lot of those challenges. And I want something in the financial space. I'm incredibly, incredibly tickled by just the way financial assets work, investing. Actually, that's what I did before I became an entrepreneur. I had gotten I was working with World Financial Group. I was actually a rep for them. I had 16 million under management when I was 19 years old.
Nice.
And so that's why I was getting job offers on Wall Street. I am interested in that. But rather than being the person doing the investing, which I don't care for, I'd rather be the person starting the company and hiring those who do the investing. So those are some areas where I kind of keep my eyes and ears open. But I got to tell you right now, I am going to have hands full big time with Learn for years to come. So it's focusing there.
I love it. How do you stay motivated? Is it natural or is it natural?
I don't know how to get unmotivated. I mean, if I got to start getting a little demotivated, to be honest with you, because it is like too much go in this one. It's not the money. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I don't care about money. If I was doing this for the money, I would be so bored right now, because the truth is, if you gave me another 50 million, I don't know what the heck to do with it.
Yeah.
My
wife and I joke about that. We'll have some big deal go through or sell something. And she's like, yay, we can finally do nice things. We can finally have nice, go nice places. It's like, there's nothing that's going to change at all.
Nothing, right? Nothing. I'll give back more. I'll put more time and energy into my nonprofit. That does keep me going a lot. So I will say
what's the nonprofit? We
build schools.
Build schools. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, anyone can check out our work, singal.org. So singal.org. So we didn't do this ourselves, but we helped finish the round of funding that there's a hospital in India.
Nice.
In this village, people are dying because the closest hospital is like an hour and a half or 2 hours away. So we helped close up the round to build a hospital. It's up, should start. Obviously, this corona thing has screwed everything over, but we have 8 schools in India for children who literally live in the slums. These kids literally live in cardboard boxes and mud huts, and they go to 5-star facilities. And all of our nonprofits are self-sufficient. We do not, I treat them as incubators. So yeah. They are businesses. Our mm-hmm. schools, they charge the kids pay like, the parents pay like $8 a month uh-huh. per kid. But that's actually enough to make the schools completely self-sufficient in 18 right. months. And we work with an organization called Village Enterprise, and we adopt villages in East Africa to do microfunding and build yeah. micro economies.
Yep.
Love them. So I think I would put a lot more energy and focus. But you asked about motivation. I am all about conquer the mountain just to conquer it, just so I can put my flag up there and be like, I did it. I do that. Stupid, crazy stuff sometimes just so I could say I did it. That's what motivates me right now. So, do I do it for the money? No. Actually, if I was doing it for the money, I'm doing it all wrong right now. There's much easier ways to make money than right. the ways I make it right now. So for me, it's all about what's the next big challenge? Where can I grow? What'll be fun? And then I go do it.
What's the number one thing you think that holds you back from having everything that you want?
My health right now, I think a lot of people who are close to me know I've faced a lot of health challenges, and it's kind of put a pause on some things, but I'm working through that now. I've put a lot of focus on it. Actually, being on a lockdown 2020 pandemic, like it kind of helped realign some focal points. I think the second thing, which is a close second, was it's quickly not my issue anymore. The right team, the right people around me to execute on all the craziness. I had great people around me all along, but almost like I didn't have enough of them. Yeah. Right? A lot of things kind of fell in place this year. So now all of a sudden I'm being surrounded by brilliant people who I can be the visionary, have a crazy idea, and I can articulate it, and then someone can go start running and I can guide it, but I don't have to do it. And that is where I start to really shine then.
That's so cool. Before I let you go, two things. One, is there a book or other resources or books that you think are particularly that have contributed in having you have breakthroughs in how you think or operate or do or be in the world?
Absolutely. So one book is Think and Grow Rich. I frequent it many times. I know some people say, oh, it's cliche, whatever. It's not a PD book. There's tactics in that book. It's a tactical book and it works. I try to get through it. Goal is once a year. I haven't always hit that, but once every 18 months for sure. Mm-hmm. The second book that really changed how I look at investing is Money by Tony Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a long book. It's a big book, mm-hmm. but dang, it completely, like you could do it very easily. You do not have to have financial advisors and you do not have to be a brilliant stock picker.
Yep.
It's actually really simple and easy.
Nice.
So I love that book. I recommend everybody to read it. Number three, Scaling Up by Vern Harsh.
Okay.
Love it. Read it 3 times. I'll tell you right now, the first time you read it, you won't like it. It won't make much sense to you. Read it again.
Love it.
By the third time, it's going to be like, whoa, it's going to really sink in. Those are the three that I think, come first to mind. Number four is not really a book as much as learn taxes. Mm-hmm. Learn about how to save on taxes. That has been a fundamental change in my life. And I'm not talking about evasion or anything bad. I'm talking about doing it the way the government wants.
Yep.
And so learning real estate and all of these things has helped me because it's allowing me to grow my wealth quicker while contributing to the economy in a bigger way than I would have had I cut the check. And I think there's a huge misunderstanding around that. I don't want to go political with this thing, but you saving on taxes, if you do it the right way, you're actually giving more to the economy and to those around you. And having unlocked that over the last couple of years has been big for me.
That's awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for coming on and taking the time to be here today. Would you please just kind of recap the best places to get a hold of you? And I know you've got all kinds of resources from podcast pages and whatnot. So just hit us with them all real quick so that everybody knows and can find the best ways to connect with you.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you for doing that. So my podcast is where I would say it's called The Fighting Entrepreneur. Go ahead and type it in to Apple or wherever, YouTube, or go to anikpodcast.com, anikpodcast.com. And you can listen to all of our episodes. A lot of fun. I really get into tactics. It's not story driven. It's like this, like we meet things that you can walk away with. And then learn.com, LURN.com. We've got 410,000 members. It's free. Just go fill out a little form and join the fun. We have lots of amazing resources, courses, connections, community, tons of things coming out.
Awesome. Thank you again. Really appreciate you taking the time today and we will see you soon.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Bye.
You've been listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. If you're enjoying the show, let us know by subscribing and leaving a review. And for more information, go to businesslunchpodcast.com. Thank you for listening.
What if 3 days could change the course of your business in 2023? Get Scalable Live is where you'll gain great clarity on the next steps that will help you create the business, life, and wealth you deserve. Connect with business owners and entrepreneurs just like you, hungry for advice, proven strategies, and necessary connections to grow a business.
Literally, million-dollar conversations are happening in the hallways, in the bathrooms, across tables.
Get Scalable Live at Fairmont Austin, November 2nd through 4th. Tickets are on sale now at GetScalableLive.com.